So we are 4 days into Lent now. And Lent, as we know, is traditionally a time of confession, repentance, and self-denial for the sake of others. Now, sometimes we assume that this is a gloomy, dark time that just drips with guilt and even fear. And frankly, the church historically has a lot to do with that because that is what our emphasis has been. It happens as well when we're tempted to get stuck in the confession part and stay there. It happens when we are afraid that God may not forgive us, love us, redeem us, or make us new. It's even easier to fall into that trap when we are too hard on ourselves. When we say things like, I should have known better, or I knew what I was doing was wrong and I did it anyway, or maybe God can forgive other people, but what I did was so wrong, I don't deserve it. Well, the spoiler alert is, we already know the end of the story. Jesus sacrificed himself for us and to us on the cross to set us free. See, on the cross, Jesus' actions say that there is nothing you can do to make me stop loving you. We've already been redeemed. We've already been bought back and set free. So there's nothing to worry about anymore. No more fear. So why confession and repentance? Because that is how we get to use Christ's sacrifice for us and make it more real in our lives. Now, confession means to identify, to name the things that we have done wrong, the ways that we have sinned and fall short from God's ways. Now, confession, no question, is humbling, sometimes embarrassing, sometimes leads us to feel some guilt. And none of these are bad things. They are necessary things to do. But confession does not lead us into fear or punishment. Confession is simply the first step in identifying the things that get between God and us. It works kind of like this. I've been swimming for about 25 years now, going to the Y about every day at noon, swim laps. And over the years, I've picked up some bad habits with my stroke, particularly after some shoulder surgery about 3 or 4 years ago. So when I'm in the pool, sometimes I will ask other swimmers to watch what I'm doing and give me some critique. And they'll tell me, they'll say things like, well, I'm freestyling or crossing over too far, or you're not completing your stroke or whatever. Now, finding out what I'm doing wrong, that's only part of it. But I don't stop there. That's no help. That's where you start. The next step is finding out what I can do to improve it. So when I was crossing over, a friend of mine suggested that I imagine a tunnel in front of my head. And every stroke, imagine getting my hand right in there and pulling back. That is what repentance is like. It's what we heard in 1 John today. Confession tells us when and where we are walking in the dark. Repentance means to stop stumbling around in the dark and choose to walk in the light, to stop moving away from God's ways and to move toward them. Now, what could be dark and depressing about that? It's a good thing. If I listen to the guys I swim with at the Y and stop doing something I'm doing wrong and try to do it right, surprise, surprise, I swim better. And when I'm done, my shoulders don't hurt. Is that a bad thing? Absolutely not. It's a good thing. Repentance is not just a bunch of ritualized actions. It is not simply a matter of reciting some prayers or just going to worship. It is about choosing to walk in the light. It is about how we will live. So we follow this theme this year in Lent. We are called to do something. Now, this isn't doing anything or something pointless at random. Rather, it means to be intentional with acts of love, forgiveness, mercy, bringing peace and healing and hope into this world. That is repentance. See, what repentance does is it gets at this old question that we've all heard and some of us may even have said, if God is so powerful and loving, how come God doesn't do something about all the pain and suffering and hungry people in this world? Well, God says, I did do something. I made you. I send you. So do something. And you already have everything you need to do it. So get started. Do something. But you know what? It's amazing how quickly we will delegate the blame to God when we don't do something. When we see hungry people and don't feed them, it's so easy to say, how come God doesn't do something about it? Well, God says, I did. I sent you. Now we know there's a lot of darkness in this world. And the thing with darkness and evil is that they are really sneaky. They are clever because it tries to present itself as something good. It tells us, the darkness tells us that it is the light. Or it says it's at least as light as it's going to get in the real world. See, darkness and evil, it tells us all this hearts and flowers, love your neighbor stuff, turn the other cheek. That's nice in theory. But in the real world, what you got to do is look out for yourself. Darkness tells us, trust no one. Give nothing to anybody. Get what you can for yourselves. Now, it's a lie. But you know how it is. If we keep hearing a lie long enough, we start to believe it. We know that words from the Bible have been used to justify all kinds of hate and persecution and injustice, all the time pretending to be ever so pious and religious and good. 1 John says, if you say you walk in the light and hate others, no matter what you say, you're in the dark. So part of the challenge for us is to stop privatizing our faith, where we assume it's only about between God and us. Now, that challenge is nothing new. We hear it in the prophets from 3,000 years ago and more, when they rail at all the religious big shots who were all about singing the right hymns and making the right sacrifices and following all the other religious rules. But that is not what God wants. What God wants is active love of others. Oh, worship is a good thing. But by itself, without actions of love toward others, worship and anything that looks religious is just a bunch of self-absorbed hypocrisy. Now, being in worship, hearing God's promise of forgiveness and freedom, a new life, it is a good thing. It is important. We need to keep hearing it, because if we don't, we will forget. But if we stop here, how is the world any different? How many hungry people does that feed? How many outcasts does it welcome? Did you hear the words in the gospel we chose for Lent? Whenever you fed or clothed or visited somebody in need, Jesus said, you did it to me. That is repentance. Acts of love, generosity, and sacrifice for others. So how does that work today? Well, you saw that pallet of macaroni and cheese you gathered that went out of here last week. It's feeding hungry kids in the city right now. Now, we keep bringing this up because you know what? It is a big deal. It's a big deal. We see it around here so much it might feel like wallpaper. We don't even notice it. But it's a big deal, particularly if you are the child getting lunch. Whenever you feed the hungry, you feed me, Jesus said. Last Sunday, we had 80 or more people here for the wild game dinner. Not just to eat pheasants and venison, but to feed people through pantries we work with. It's Sussex Outreach Service and Bread of Healing across in Milwaukee. I was hungry, Jesus said, and you fed me. What do acts of repentance look like? Acts of love? Just yesterday, there were 30 kids here, half from our church and half from Hephatha at 18th and Locust. And they gathered here for a food pack to feed hungry kids in Haiti. After which our kids hosted the kids from Hephatha at Sky Zone and jumped around before they had lunch. That is what acts of love look like. That is repentance. Do something. Oh, it's not always convenient. And yes, it costs money. And speaking of money, we do need to be serious about setting aside a dollar a day during Lent for people who are hungry. Because honestly, for people like us, what's a buck? What's a buck? Do something. Do something to teach your kids about how important it is to be generous, how it feels worthwhile and meaningful to share what we have. And the ways we love others, living our faith, walking in the light, they don't need to happen here. I know a family in this congregation who went and shoveled the driveway for somebody else who was going through some medical stuff a while back, 2-3 times this winter. They weren't asked. They weren't paid. They just went and did it. So remember, this congregation is going through the process of donating bone marrow for a 6-year-old child who, without it, will die. She'll never know who this child is, lives far away. It's not going to make the headlines, but do something. It may not look religious, but man, is it faithful. God has put amazing power in our hands. Repentance leads us to new life. It is how we get to practice being free and living new already. And guess what? It is fun. It is fun to let God's power flow through you. So during these days of Lent, yes, we reflect on Jesus' sacrifice. But Jesus did not sacrifice himself so we could sit around and look glum and feel guilty and just stare at our ankles, hanging our heads in shame. Oh no, Jesus sacrificed himself to set us free so that we can live in his ways, to share what he called the kingdom of God, marked by healing and hope, peace and generosity. And those, friends, are what repentance is about. And that's where we are going. And it's a fun thing. Amen.